Chapter 8. Doc.
"Where was he?"
J.J. asked, tailing Molly through the lobby of the administration building. "Your own parking lot," Molly replied. "The Zoe Zebra section."
"Zelda,"
Summer corrected. We were following the adults. Molly looked at Summer, confused.
"What?" "The character's name is Zelda Zebra," Summer explained. "All the sections of the parking lot are named in alphabetical order, so the guests can remember where they parked. Zelda Zebra is the farthest from the front gates, because it's Z."
"I thought I made it clear I didn't want you kids hanging around this investigation," Molly said.
"This is no time to get territorial," JJ told her. "Doc's a friend of theirs. They deserve to know what happened to him."
Molly looked like she wanted to argue this, then decided not to.
"Right. It was the farthest section of the parking lot, away from the crowds. He was dumped on the edge of the asphalt with a sack over his head and his hands tied behind his back."
She passed through the front doors of the building, and we followed her out into the heat.
"Where is he now?" JJ asked.
"Honecker is bringing him in."
Molly turned toward the veterinary hospital. "Some guests saw him and reported it to your security division. I've been told that he's in good physical condition. Honecker wanted to take him to your medical clinic, but Doc insisted upon coming to the veterinary hospital instead."
"Sounds like Doc, all right," I said.
Doc didn't have much respect for the doctors who worked at the Fun Jungle Health Clinic, claiming both had barely graduated from medical school. My parents actually agreed with him. When my mother had fractured her leg a few months before, she'd gone to Doc to have it set, rather than the human doctor.
"A bone's a bone," Mom had explained. "If Doc can fix a gorilla's leg, he can fix mine."
A souped-up golf cart swerved around a corner, racing toward the animal hospital. I could tell Marge was driving it even before I saw her at the wheel, because Marge was the worst driver I'd ever met in my life. Instead of coming in a straight line, the cart was veering all over the place. As we watched, it clipped a trash can and scraped against a lamppost. The front seat was built for two normal-sized people, but Marge took up the whole thing. Therefore, Honecker and Doc both had to sit in the back seat. Both were clinging to the sides of the cart for dear life, desperately trying not to be pitched out onto the ground.
"They're letting my sister drive?" Molly gasped. "She'll kill Doc before I get a chance to question him."
An actor dressed as Larry the Lizard scrambled out of the golf cart's way, barely avoiding getting turned into roadkill.
"Watch where you're going,"
Marge yelled, even though it had been her fault. She then completely forgot to watch where she was going herself. She was too busy giving Larry the stink eye to realize she was bearing right down on us. We all scattered like a herd of wildebeest facing a lion. Marge wove through us and plowed right into a large shrub outside the hospital. Doc staggered out of the back of the golf cart, looking shaken.
"I think I'd have been better off if I'd stayed with the kidnappers," he announced.
"It was my understanding that it was imperative to get you here as fast as possible," Marge said defensively.
Molly stepped forward. "Dr. Deacon, my name is Molly O'Malley. I'm the FBI agent in charge of this investigation."
"O'Malley?"
Doc repeated, then looked from Molly to Marge, scrutinizing them carefully.
"You're related?"
"Marjorie is my younger sister,"
Molly said quickly, as if embarrassed by it. Doc's jaw dropped in surprise, but before he could say anything else, Molly told him,
"I need to ask you some questions about your experiences with the kidnappers. If you'll accompany me, I have a room set up in the administration building."
"Sorry, but I have a kinkajou in dire need of bowel surgery at the moment."
Doc sideslipped Molly and headed for the hospital doors.
"And after that, I have a full day of other operations. Those kidnappers really mucked up my schedule."
Molly spun and followed him.
"Dr. Deacon, I'm not asking you to come with me. I'm telling you."
"And I'm telling you I can't do it right now. There are animals in serious need of my help."
"This is a federal investigation," Molly said. "You are required to assist in it. If you disobey me, I can force you to comply."
Doc stopped and turned back to face her.
"I already told your sister everything I know. Ask her."
"I'd prefer to hear it from you," Molly said.
"There's not much. I didn't hear or see anything."
"Nothing at all?" Molly asked, incredulous. Come now, Doctor. They held you for at least 12 hours.
I was asleep for all of it, Doc said. First they chloroformed me. Eventually I woke up lying on a floor with my arms tied and a burlap sack over my head. I yelled for someone, but no one came, so I went back to sleep.
Why? Molly demanded.
Because I was tired. I was lying down, and frankly, there wasn't much else I could do. At some point, someone put me in a car, and the next thing I knew, I was lying in the parking lot here. No one ever spoke to me, or even spoke near me. My head was in the sack the whole time, so I didn't see a thing. They did pin a note to my clothes, but Honecker has it. That's everything I can tell you.
I looked at Honecker, as did Molly and everyone else. He held up a clear plastic evidence bag with a standard letter envelope in it. It was still sealed, and on the outside was typed, "For J.J. McCracken."
This was on Doc when we found him, Honecker stated. I haven't opened it yet.
Molly said, Dr. Deacon, it would be in Li Ping's interests if you gave me a more formal interview.
You mean sit in a room for an hour telling you that I don't know anything else? Doc asked. Whoever these guys were, they were extremely careful. If you're looking for clues, I can't give you anything more than the one Honecker's holding.
He started for the hospital again, but Molly stepped into his path.
We're not finished here yet, she informed him.
Doc's eyes narrowed angrily.
Agent O'Malley, do you have the authorization to prevent a doctor from performing emergency surgery on a human being?
No, but...
Well, I'm about to perform emergency surgery myself. If you really think it's that urgent to talk to me at this very moment, feel free to sterilize yourself and come watch me resect this bowel. If not, then get out of my way. An animal's life is at stake.
Molly stepped aside, stunned. It appeared she wasn't used to people saying no to her. She helplessly watched Doc enter the hospital, then returned her attention to Honecker.
Do you have any information on the car that dumped Doc here?
No, Honecker replied.
As far as we know, no one saw it. Doc says he was lying there for a good 5 minutes before anyone noticed him. By that point, the car was long gone.
Do you have security cameras in the parking lot? Molly asked.
Lots of them. I have my people combing through footage as we speak. Though this was out of the periphery, so I can't guarantee much.
Molly said, If you find anything, I want to see it.
Of course, Honecker agreed.
How'd the guests handle finding a kidnapping victim in our parking lot? J.J. asked. Were they upset? Do I need to get Pete Thwacker on this?
The guests were quite calm and helpful, Honecker replied. I don't know that they've connected this to Fun Jungle at all, since it was on the outskirts of the lot, but bringing Pete on board to finesse the situation is probably still a good idea. I have their names and numbers.
I'd like to talk to them myself, Molly said.
Then she plucked the evidence bag with a letter out of Honecker's hand.
I assume you handled this carefully?
No, Honecker replied sarcastically. I made sure I got my fingerprints all over it. Then I spit on it for good measure.
There's no need for that tone, Molly told him.
We're not amateurs here, Honecker shot back. I could have opened that myself, but I chose to extend you professional courtesy. I'd appreciate it if you would do the same.
Molly backed down. Point taken. I apologize.
What do you think that is? J.J. asked. Another ransom note?
I assume so, Molly said. But I want to make sure it's properly analyzed for evidence first. Once that's done, I'll contact you with my findings. Don't go too far in the meantime.
She headed toward where the FBI's mobile crime unit was parked. J.J. looked peeved at the way she'd spoken to him. He turned to Marge and snapped,
Get that golf cart out of my shrubberies.
Yes, sir, Mr. McCracken,
Marge saluted respectfully. JJ's phone rang. I caught a glimpse of the caller ID. Linda from his office. JJ answered, saying,
Tell me this is good news.
From his reaction, it obviously wasn't. The color drained from his tanned face so quickly it looked as though he'd been bleached. Then he said a few words that would have gotten me detention at school.
What is it? Summer asked.
The Premier of China wants to talk, J.J. replied sourly, and he's mad as a stirred-up hornet's nest.
He returned his attention to his phone and hurried back into the administration building.
I'm coming back to the office right now, he told Linda.
Honecker dropped in behind J.J., following him toward administration. Summer and I did the same thing. Only before I could go two steps, Marge caught my arm.
"Not so fast," she told me. "You and I have work to do."